This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You're about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case loving you.
All right, we are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DR-DAHLIA. 1-877-DOCDALI. So, making headlines this week is Kevin Spacey is back in the news. And Kevin Spacey, 62-year-old actor, a highly acclaimed actor, who was accused of sexual assault, is now facing sexual assault charges in the UK. He is accused of attacking three men in London and Gloucestershire between 2005 and 2013, when he was an artistic director at the Old Vic, we're being told. So the first alleged victim said he was assaulted twice in March 2005. A second man told prosecutors he was sexually assaulted and then forced to engage in a sex act against his will in 2008. A third man said he was sexually assaulted in April 2013 in Gloucestershire, and no court date has been set. But Spacey has homes in Britain and the U.S. He will need to be extradited to the U.K. for this. So this string of sexual offenses, one of you had asked me a long, long time ago when he had gotten kicked off House of Cards, if artists have certain sexual deviances in terms of assault, in terms of fetishes, and how if somebody is, let's say, artistic, you know, is that very common? And he had brought up, you know, so many actors that have gotten, you know, in trouble for, you know, sexual offenses, etc. And it's tricky to say because that's a very, very long answer to do in such a short time. So let's say, for example, somebody is bipolar. Somebody who is bipolar usually has a fantastic gift. They are known for some brilliant artistry. And they almost can taste the octaves or can venture into octaves that we can't, whether it be through singing, whether it be through artistry, whether it be through dance, whether it be through acting. And they are able to do things that the average person can't. But with that gift comes a curse. And some people with bipolar, and I'm not saying all people with bipolar have a gift and have an artistry, but, you know, most of the time, anytime a patient came into me new, you know, I have bipolar, I go, what do you do well? What's your art? And they either music, art, drawing, painting, you know, and they're very, very good. The curse to that is they feel the negative in that same octave range. So rather than some of us who circle the equator going, yay, it's our birthday, who cares? You know, oh no, you know, I lost a loved one. Life goes on. I have to just, you know, move on. You know, I'm not going to let something destroy me. Rather than having the elation and the depression, a bipolar will have those poles. And so from a sexual standpoint, some people, let's say with bipolar, I'm not saying Kevin Spacey has it, but from a sexual standpoint, some people with bipolar may have hypersexual states, or they want sex a lot. And somebody would be like, man, this person really, really wants sex. Wow, that's great. And sometimes it's too much for you. And then sometimes, no, they don't want to be touched, and it could be the other way with the other pole. So sex could vary commonly. That is one example of where sex and artistry can thread and can be congruent. when there are, you know, some people that have that, you know, that breadth of, you know, life living and tactile reach, it may pervade into sex. In terms of somebody committing sexual assault, that you know, doesn't necessarily have to follow an artistic thread. People that, you know, commit assaults all the time, they probably couldn't even hold a tune. So even though Kevin Spacey is extremely talented from an artistry standpoint, I don't necessarily want to say that there's any connection in terms of assault. Somebody being, let's say, bipolar or having that sort of, you know, mental makeup might want a lot of sex. Doesn't necessarily mean assault. Now, the accusation of it, though, including penetrative sexual activity without consent, I mean, that's rape. And you know, that's then the question is was it consented or not? If it wasn't consented, it's rape. If it was consented, and then somebody decides to go, no, I never wanted it, I was attacked, well, then it turns into, rather than being a consensual act, to a sexual assault. So, you know, it's hard to say what's going on. Sadly, one victim years ago, I believe, was a child at the time. And so once you're an adult, even if there's a teenager, and a very promiscuous teenager, let's say, or whatever, you having any sort of sexual interaction with them puts you in the dominant category, and that child being coerced, teenager, doesn't matter if they're 16, 17, and 11 months. So his fall from this was because of choices he made originally that involved somebody young. Now, the third complainant is now in his 30s. He said he was sexually assaulted April 2013. He would have been an adult, though, at that time. So, you know, Spacey had been in House of Cards. He had won multiple Oscars, 1995 Best Supporting Oscar for The Usual Suspects, Best Actor for American Beauty. And, you know, he had a lot of artistry in terms of engaging in people non-consensually for sex. I don't want to think that has any sort of, you know, relationship. So it's a good question, but, you know, we'll see what happens with the courts. 1-877-DOCTOLLY, don't go away.
Gals, Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there, as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com. Hey guys, Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safely.
Here's a question for you. Why is it that some people aren't as stressed out about the future as you'd think they'd be? Answer? They're probably among the millions of Americans who have prepared themselves with emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. If the worst ever happens, literally millions of American families are already protected from dealing with empty store shelves. Is yours? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now and grab some emergency food kits, at least one for each member of your family. These kits give you a wide variety of delicious meals that average over 2,000 calories per day. Everything stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Order your kits now by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your order will ship fast and arrive discreetly in unmarked boxes. Listen, This is something you need to jump on now, before the next news headline stuns the world. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream to the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue them up. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras. Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Dr. Dolly, it's show 1-877-DOCDALLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Daniel, our producer. And big thanks to you all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dolly and on Facebook, The Dr. Dolly Show. Okay, so the topic keeps coming up. Are parents going to send their kids back to school? Well, they have been. Parents have been sending their kids to school. Drop my kids off to school. I didn't even stop the car. I'm like, get out. You know, summer was long. We're done. Love you. See ya. And for me, I loved being able to drop my kids off to school because I had to work. And it was really hard to have the kids at work, and I needed to work. I worked all the time. Never took a day off. And even though I love my kids, it just school helped me work. That was, you know, and it taught my kids. And my kids learned how to read and write and do things that I couldn't teach them. I mean, I'm sure I could have taught them, but there's no way I could have taught them appropriately. It also allowed them to be with other kids, do sports, and thrive. And I'm really grateful for the schools that my children went to. I'm grateful to the teachers, and I feel blessed. Parents, though, who are a little younger, or have younger kids than I do, are facing some different realities, right, than I had to. It seems like you know, parents now have multiple other, shall we say, obstacles, you know, to them thinking that their child is going to have an event-free school day. And it's concerning many parents. Many parents also don't like a lot of the rules surrounding school. Some parents don't like the curriculum. Some parents are worried about the bathrooms and who could be in the girl's bathroom with their young daughter. And so there are concerns that some parents are having that is making them question whether they're going to bring their child back to school. COVID originally scared a lot of parents. Many parents did not want their kids back to school. Many parents did. They're like, my kid is not thriving. My kid is not learning. My child only has X amount of learning years, you know, this expansive learning years. Get this kid back to school. But many parents are like, I don't want my kid getting COVID. I don't want my kid getting sick. I don't want my kid bringing this back. So first you had parents already kind of considering, look, you know, I don't want the illness coming back and forth. Every time my kid goes to school, gets sick, has to quarantine, now the whole family has to quarantine. It's easier to keep them home. Then some parents, especially in California, started to weigh the vaccine mandate. And many parents had reached out saying, look, the school district is going to mandate the COVID vaccine. I don't want my kid getting the COVID vaccine. So that means my kid can't go to school. Any in-person, you know, schooling would require this. Now, it was going to be required for the 2022 school year, and I think the L.A. school district changed it to 2023. But that caused some parents to go, I don't think I want my kid in school, which is concerning, because then if that child's not going to get COVID vaccines, you know, vaccinations, and I get that, but if that child, you know, why parents are concerned, but if that child then is not doing in school, those parents might be like, you know what, forget about any of the vaccines. So, you know, you have to be really, really careful about these mandates, because the more you throw at people, the repercussions of lack of enthusiasm for public health measures rise. So that's another issue. Then comes the whole, you know, critical race theory and some of the curricula, where even though I think a lot of us parents and a lot of us educators agree that we need to have a very balanced history, an accurate history being taught to our kids, we do not think kids should be filling out, you know, forms and admitting to being, you know, racist or misogynist or sexist or whatever some of these exercises are doing. And so many parents are like, I don't want my child having something in writing or on video that's going to prevent them from getting a job later. So these curricula that many parents don't feel like they have a right to vote on is starting to make some parents, you know, question whether they want their kids in school or not. And then some of the decisions that are being made in terms of, you know, bathrooms. After that one child, her father said she was assaulted by somebody, I don't know if they were truly transgender or pretended to be transgender, in a girl's bathroom. You have many people concerned about what happens at school and bathrooms. And then the you know, cherry on top is the school shootings. And so when parents say, I'm done, not taking my kids to school anymore, I'm done, we are going to have an epidemic of non-schooled children. And what is that going to do? Now, some parents also might, you know, say, look, I can't come to work now. Sorry, I know you want me back at work, but I have a kid at home. So because I'm choosing to keep my kid at home, you have to, you know, not make me go to work. In fact, at one point during COVID, you could get extra funding or you could get extra PTO. If you had a child that couldn't go to school because of the COVID lockdown or because of COVID, you got paid for those days off as well. So, yeah, parents like, keep my kid home. Yeah, you know, it, I'm not saying all parents were like this. You know, it's multifaceted, but when there's so many reasons that parents are bringing up where they don't want to bring their children to school, we're starting to look at a landscape of this Generation Alpha, the kids born from 2010 on, and Gen Zs, younger Gen Zs, whose parents are like, you know what, it's just not worth it. Now, school shootings are rare and far between, but nobody wants to be one of those parents right now at Robb Elementary School who dropped their child off, who didn't want to go to school, and begged to stay home because they really didn't want to go to school. Nobody wants to be one of those parents right now who dropped their kid off at a school to be murdered. And they didn't know, obviously. But, man, I think a lot of parents are rethinking. They're like, look, you know, we know there's benefits to our children being in school, but are they, you know, are they being taught what we're comfortable with, you know, them being taught? Are they getting, you know, the training? Are they being bullied? Are they, you know, getting the breadth of learning? And I've said this time and time again. I think we need to alter our school day. I think our school day is too long. I think the way we do school is very archaic, where our children get dropped off. Well, they're at a bus stop. It takes about an hour, hour and a half for them to even get to school, get into the classroom. Then they're there all day, and they're sitting in classrooms. Maybe some teachers do group play. Maybe they get a couple hours of PE a week. But for the most part, they're sitting at a desk for hours. Then in the afternoon, they're tired. They might do their sports. They might do a club. Come home at night, see their parents for a couple hours, and that's it. And we do this because parents have a long work day. They work 8 to 5, or they work 6 to 6. So the longer school is, the easier it is on parents. But I don't know if that's the best thing for kids. And, you know, as I said before also, you know, another issue parents have in terms of school is, you know, do the teachers want the children there? We have always, as parents, thought that our teachers love the kids as much as, you know, we love them, you know, to a degree, and want to be there for the kids. And once we saw what happened with COVID, where many teachers did not want to go back, and understandably so, starts to make parents go, maybe these teachers don't want to be around our kids. So maybe it's just too long. It's just too much too long. And maybe our children need to learn their math, their history, their writing in smaller, more powerful chunks of time, then do groups, then do group work, do apprentice type learning. You know, people learn how to build something. They learn how to, you know, work out in the gym. They learn how to hike. They learn how to plant. They learn how to do practical things. Learn how to drive. Learn how to do practical things. Art. Instead of, you're going to get history for a whole hour. You're going to get math for a whole hour. You're going to get humanities for a whole hour. And maybe there are things that could be taught in smaller sections where school doesn't have to be as long. And then after school could be sports or camps, which still kind of take over the babysitting that the parents need, but they're not all in an area like sitting ducks. And these could be areas that could be, you know, allowing more, security or a different venue that, you know, makes it a little harder for somebody who wants to just go in and shoot up a school. Where you're learning is throughout the city. Your learning is not just in one four-walled room. So school, I think, will change. I don't know how it's going to change. I think it's going to change more to be online after reading Ready Player One. I see that as the future, where if you don't have a lot of teachers wanting to go back to work, and, you know, there's no protection for them. They have to be human shields for these kids. They don't want to see kids die. Many teachers might also say, you know what, I'm done. Already, you know, getting difficult to find teachers. So I foresee us moving more online. Not that I'm a fan of that, but I think where we do have to move is a shorter school day and a less everybody just kind of sitting there stuck in desks where they can't run anywhere or move. 1-877-DOC-BELLY.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Gas prices are setting another record. According to AAA, the national average price for regular is now $4.60 a gallon. Regular averaged $4.13 a gallon 1 month ago. Andrew Lipow is the president of Lipow Oil Associates. He believes gas and energy prices will remain high.
We're looking at high gasoline and other energy prices for the foreseeable future. The fact of the matter is that oil demand around the world is continuing to grow while the supply is more difficult to come by.
That audio courtesy of Fox News. The nation's economy shrunk more than expected in the first quarter. The government revealed a 1.5% decline in the country's GDP during the first 3 months of the year. It's the worst figure since the second quarter of 2020. This is USA Radio News. Weekly jobless claims are down. The Labor Department reports 210,000 Americans filed first-time claims for unemployment benefits last week. That's 8,000 fewer than the previous week's total of 218,000. The biggest jumps in claims were Kentucky, California, Illinois, Ohio, and Florida. Michigan's top cop may be getting involved in a fraudulent signature scheme.
A fraudulent petition signatures report has been referred to Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel on Wednesday. A suspected signature forgery operation is compromising ballot placement for 19 candidates in Michigan, including 4 of 9 Republican gubernatorial hopefuls. A 10th candidate withdrew from the race on Monday. Michigan's Board of State Canvassers, which will accept or deny those signatures, will meet on Thursday.
Katie Lewis reporting from the USA Radio News Midwest. This is USA Radio News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Back on the Dr. Dolly Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY, 1-877-DOC-DALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Daniel, our producer. Big thanks to you all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dolly and on Facebook, The Dr. Dolly Show. So many people are concerned, obviously, about the instability of what's going on with Ukraine, Russia, and Europe. And one question that everybody has is somebody going to break rank and break alliances in order to save themselves? And remember earlier last week, Hungary had to declare a state of emergency. And people were wondering, you know, what exactly did that mean? We didn't have a lot of details, but it had to do with them being able to protect their citizens if they have issues with food, fuel, climate, medical, whatever. So a state of emergency allows them to make certain decisions and maybe not necessarily go with the European Union flow of things. And we're wondering if that had something to do with the you know, the block that the European Union has in terms of we're not going to use Russian fuel. We're not going to give in, pay with rubles. They're, you know, we don't need their fuel. We don't need their oil. We don't need their food. And Hungary had declared a state of emergency, meaning does it need to break ranks? Well, CNN has an article talking about that a little bit more, saying the West is united against Russia. Will its nerve hold as prices soar? They say Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky spoke by video to a packed room at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. He thanked the West for its solidarity against Russia, but he also issued a warning to political leaders and business executives, don't lose your nerve. He said, I wish, only wish you not lose this feeling of unity. So we're 3 months into the Russian invasion of Ukraine, and leaders from Europe and the United States emphasize that they will remain committed, sticking with unprecedented sanctions in an attempt to force Vladimir Putin to pull his troops out. But food, fuel prices, supply chain issues, this is going to start causing more protests and political discontent. They also believe that's going to increase the risk of a recession. So I think our economic woes started before the war, but the war is accelerating it. So I'm of the mindset that it's everything. You know, everything's, contributing to it. But if there's no doubt, if this war continues, it is, we are going to feel it. So once everybody uses up the supplies, whatever was being grown in Ukraine, whatever was being shipped, you know, if it gets to our shelves or if we feel it, and let's say in Europe, 3 to 6 months later, this is when we're going to start to feel it even more. So Jason Furman, a Harvard professor who previously served as President Barack Obama's top economic advisor, told CNN Business, I'm very worried about what a recession in Europe would do to European resolve to stick with it and continue to escalate the sanctions. They say already cracks are starting to form in Europe's united front. Hungary's Viktor Orban, who was not present in Davos, has led dissenters in blocking the European Union plans for an oil embargo on Russia, a bid to cut off a major source of revenue to Moscow. The goal of ultimately getting rid of Russian gas could prove more difficult, obviously, if you don't have everybody on board. They say in the U.S., President Joe Biden and Democrats are under enormous pressure to prove they're serious about fighting inflation ahead of the midterm elections in November. You know, supply chain, high consumer demand, you know, but if they continue to apply pressure on Russia, apparently there's been warnings from billionaire George Soros and others that appeasement of Putin could have catastrophic consequences. Having had relatives who were survivors of the Holocaust, you cannot be appeasing Putin. I know Henry Kissinger had talked about Ukraine giving up that territory to Russia, in hopes of a ceasefire. This is, I think Russia is, taking all the playbooks out of Hitler's, and I don't think that would. I think they would regroup and continue. You know, once somebody thinks something's theirs, they're not just going to want a piece of it. They're going to want, as much of it. So, Russia is, according to the U.S. Energy Secretary, weaponizing energy. And Russia's invasion with the ensuing sanctions is causing people to hurt when it comes to oil prices, gasoline, diesel prices. And what's very interesting is all of us are very concerned for the Ukrainian people. And I said this from the beginning. I go, the genocide that's happening, it really is on us. It's really on the UN to get in there and to stop this and to stop Russia from doing it. But if they're not, who does? And so although most people around the world are on the side of Ukraine, I'd say most, but, a good amount of countries are on the side of Ukraine, these, people start to eventually, get grumpy and get selfish. And at some point, they're not going to care. They're not going to care about what happens to Ukraine because they're more worried about what's happening to their pockets. And so it's the longer this war goes, the worse it becomes. And I'm not saying we go in there and stop Russia, but I'd like to know what the UN does. And I'd like to know, I thought the whole purpose of the UN is to stop there from being genocide and to stop, innocent civilians from being killed and to try to keep peace in the area. So I'm not entirely sure why, it's going to take one of us, our countries, to stop this. So we'll see what happens. They say world oil prices have hit a two-month high, about $117 now, as Russia's war continues. Russian forces have lost about 1,000 tanks in Ukraine so far. So they have lost 1,000 tanks as well as 350 artillery pieces. They are obviously not getting what they thought they would get out of this. Ukraine has put up an amazing fight, but sadly this might not be enough. Interestingly, Zelensky doesn't think Putin understands what's happening in Ukraine. He thinks Vladimir Putin is living in a constructed alternative reality. Ukrainian President Zelensky said Russia's full-scale invasion of the country, which began 92 days ago, would most likely end with a negotiated settlement, but only if Putin agrees to direct negotiations that he has so far avoided. He said Putin is not keenly aware of what's going on in Ukraine. Ukraine is not going to concede our territory. We are fighting in our country on our land. He said, this is a war of Ukraine, not against anybody, but that's a war for our land, our freedom, our independence, and our future. We haven't got any other land. We shouldn't stay where we are, and there would be no opportunity for us to find somewhere else to live, nor do we want to look for somewhere else to live. And I get it. Ukraine at this point doesn't have much to lose. Ukraine, that's their land. That's their, where do they go? As you saw, you know, that one Ukrainian refugee, she went to the UK, she found a family who would take her, but then they end up falling in love, she and the husband, and leaving the wife and the two kids, and that's a whole mess and a half. So, Ukraine has absolutely nothing, no reason to not, fight. Zelensky has condemned Kissinger's idea for negotiations with Russia, that this would be a 1938-style appeasement. He did not like what former U.S. Secretary of State Kissinger suggested, where he said peace negotiations should be aimed at creating borders along the line of contact in Donbass, as it existed on the eve of the Russian invasion. He doesn't like that idea. I understand people want to, reach some sort of, stalemate, reach some sort of a compromise, but when you have a country come in, take land, and control a good part of what could be your exports and sea, I agree. I don't think they should concede. I think the UN should get in there. I think there should be a UN force, a UN military that pushes Russia back. Leave them alone. Get the hell out of here. You got your land. You mess with them, you're going to mess with the UN. I don't see that happening. 1-877-DOCTOLLY.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Hey guys, Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safely.
Hey guys, gals, Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated?
Well, you need to be careful out there, as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com.
Have you heard the warning from the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
I'm Ben Utek. I played high school, college, and pro football, helping my team win the 2006 championship. It was an amazing day, but it can't compare to the joy I feel every day with my loving wife and three beautiful daughters. My football career ended after I suffered my fifth concussion. Did you know that over 1 million athletes suffer a concussion each year? That includes boys and girls, every age, every type and level of sport. It isn't always clear that a player has had a concussion, so parents, athletes, and coaches need to learn about concussion signs and symptoms. The American Academy of Neurology recommends athletes thought to have a concussion be immediately removed from play and not returned until assessed by a healthcare professional trained in concussion. This isn't just about sports. It's about your brain. When in doubt, sit it out. Learn more at aan.com/concussion. That's aan.com/concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Dr. Dolly Show, thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, The Dr. Dahlia Show. So the Amber Heard Johnny Depp trial may be coming to a close in terms of closing arguments, I believe, tomorrow. Gosh, it's been a long, long trial. Man. And what might be started out as a nice, shall we say, distraction from a lot of the, you know, stuff we've been dealing with has actually been very stressful and difficult to watch and annoying, and it's and very, very hard to take, as we spoke about. Well, Amber Heard got back on the stand. Both Johnny Depp got on the stand yesterday, and then this morning Amber Heard got back on the stand, and she actually broke down about how Johnny Depp's, quote, smear campaign has completely upended her life. Now, some people could say, well, you deserved it because you started it with your op-ed. But she is not only being sued for $50 million, she is countersuing for $100 million for defamation of character by Johnny Depp. So she was asked by her attorney how she has suffered as a result of Depp's statement. Hurd said, "I am harassed, humiliated, threatened every single day." She said, "Even just walking into this courtroom, sitting here in front of the world, having the worst parts of my life used to humiliate me, people want to kill me, and they tell me so every day." She says, "People want to put my baby in the microwave, and they tell me that. Johnny threatened, promised me that if I ever left him, he'd make me think of him every single day I lived." Now, Hurd apparently has a one-year-old daughter, Una Paige Hurd. Apparently, she welcomed her as a surrogate. We don't know exactly who the father is yet, but there are pictures of her and the baby, and she says she does fear for, you know, her baby's life as well. She said that, you know, she said, "I'm not sitting in this courtroom snickering. I'm not sitting in this courtroom laughing and making inside jokes. This is horrible. It's painful. This is humiliating for any human being to go through. Perhaps it's easy to go forget that. I'm a human being. I don't deserve this. The attacks on me, the campaign that Johnny has elicited millions of people to do on his behalf, torture me." And, you know, this is a, you know, this is, she goes, in the harassment, the humiliation, the campaign against me that's echoed every single day on social media and now in class, in cameras in this classroom, every single day I live this trauma. My hands shake. I wake up screaming. My friends have to live with a set of unspoken rules about how not to scare me, how not to touch me, not surprise me. Intimate partners have rules about how they could touch me. I have rules about medical professionals, gynecologists I see, for me not to have a panic attack or triggering event where I relive the trauma, even if I'm training for a movie, Aquaman 2. A trigger happens and I have a meltdown. I have to deal with that because of the damage I have. She says she's highly functioning, found a solution to the pain, which is charitable work. She said, "I woke up every day with panic attacks until I realized I could do something about it. I'm not a saint. I'm not trying to present myself as one, but I selfishly found relief in using what I lived through to give a voice to people who don't have a voice." So there, I don't know if you've been following. There's been a lot of back and forth on some of the, you know, accusations that have come up. Like, for example, that she didn't give the money that was supposed to be promised to the Children's Hospital. And when that testimony came up, her defense said, was she supposed to give the money right away or over 5 years, 10 years? Now, that wasn't specified. So the argument there was, oh, she was going to give the money, but it's still coming. And, it's, you know, so that obviously doesn't make her look as good. Then there were concerns about the phone and her images of bruising and how they were manipulated. And so they had specialists come on, talk about the prosecution, Depp's side, about how some of these pictures, you know, might have been fabricated and then re-uploaded. And the defense said, and they assumed this because there was Apple phones or iPhone, you know, 3.0. It was a software that would say where the picture came from. But the defense found, well, that's also a storage. So when you take a picture and it gets stored there and then you put it back, that doesn't necessarily mean it was altered. It just means it was stored there. So, you know, I don't know who's going to be more successful at convincing the jury, but, you know, I am not a fan of anybody lying about, you know, being assaulted or saying somebody, you know, was a wife beater when they weren't. But I'm also not a fan of, you know, somebody being, you know, victimized when they're trying to, you know, prove their case. Having, you know, patients of, you know, sexual assault, you know, they don't want to go through it. They don't want to talk about it. Amber Heard opened herself up to that when, you know, she brought up the op-ed. And when, you know, she said she was a victim of domestic, you know, abuse or domestic violence. And so, in a way, she then invited, okay, then, you know, that means obviously people are going to talk about it. People are going to ask. If somebody is being accused, they're going to want to, I mean, it, you know, unless she didn't realize that. And it's kind of a lesson to all of us, you know, before you know, if before you say somebody did something, you know, did it happen? If it did happen, then, you know, go for broke. But if it did not, you know, there's going to be that, you know, why him? Why, you know, why are you saying it was, you know, assault? Why are you saying it was, you know? And so, You know, it's sad to see a marriage like this so public, but there's a lot of, you know, public topics that are coming up in this in terms of, you know, accusations, in terms of, you know, domestic violence. Do men get assaulted as well? The one thing I want to, though, say for the Johnny Depp side, and it looks like they've cleaned it up a little bit, is there was the smirking and laughing, and it wasn't a good look. Johnny Depp has a lot of fans, and Johnny Depp noticed when he was on the stand that he got the audience to laugh and the people in the courtroom to laugh. Very powerful. Everybody, you know, it's very well known that the majority of those watching this are fans of Johnny Depp. But when the Camille, his lawyer, starts, you know, whispering and making him giggle and, you know, them touching each other and leaning in and things like that and whatever, and I get he might be doing it to try to tick Amber Heard off. It's not a good look. And, in fact, it looks like they cleaned it up a little bit. You don't see Camille as touchy or as – you don't see, you know, the flirtations. It almost looks like now they barely look at each other because, obviously, that could bring up some impropriety if there is any relationship between a lawyer and their client. So there's – it looks like they saw what was – and I get it. It's a long, long trial. I would be making jokes. I would be, and nobody knows what they were making jokes of. You know, he could say, you know, like I'm constipated and laugh something about that. But it almost looked like they were making fun of, you know, some of the witnesses, some of that. That's not a good look. Not a good look at all. And so, you know, Amber Heard being accused of smirking, him being accused of smirking, you know, not good. And so, you know, I'm sure that the jury is going to go Johnny Depp's way. I think the defense, you know, had a huge uphill battle trying to prove that, you know, Johnny Depp hit her. I don't think they had any proof. In terms of defamation, that's going to be another story, you know. And in terms of the definition of abuse, does abuse have to include hitting or just the yelling and the names and the, you know, and so, you know, we'll see what happens. I think their closing statements happen tomorrow, and then a lot of it was today has to do with the video, the TMZ video of Depp slamming cabinets, and that got, you know, sent to TMZ, and then that, you know, got, you know, people making videos and sending it to the media. These are things that have consequences. And so if there is a lesson learned with this, you know, that there are consequences to, you know, accusations that might be false. And so think twice. Can't say somebody pushed somebody down the stairs and then Kate Moss comes on going, but I didn't get pushed down the stairs. 1-877-DOCTOR.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days. You still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast from Sunny Bay.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one. RAD. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.